You're familiar with the district. You worked here before. You were here for a couple months working with your predecessor, Eileen Rushell, before you actually became superintendent. So did that help you kind of hit the ground running?
Well, that helped tremendously. And, you know, it was kind of a set of unique circumstances. But I will say that the transition with Dr. Rushell was phenomenal. I understood completely that she still had a school district to run, which in itself is a very busy job. But she made sure and take the time and extra effort to help me see the big picture as it currently stands in Macomb School District. And currently, there are so many very large initiatives coming down to the schools from both the state and federal levels that transition, I think, in this case, was really crucial to help me, as of July 1, hit the ground running.
Can you give a specific example of how this helped you?
Sure. You know, the two really large initiatives I can think of, number one is the Common Core, the new Common Core State Standards. And when you talk about the new Common Core State Standards, for those who may not be as familiar with them as others, is 45 states in the union have banded together and created a new set of standards for school districts, which will be extremely helpful because it'll be more like a national set of standards instead of a state-level standard. So as children move from state to state, they'll be in the same place and time and learn the same set of standards regardless of where they live. And because Illinois is in that transitional state right now of adopting those new Common Core standards, it was critical for me to get a view of where Macomb School District is at in that process so we can begin to plan for next school year to pick up from where we're at and how to get to the next stage. As we know, coming right down the line will be the assessments that they're called the PARC assessments, and those will be associated with the new Common Core standards. So parents are probably familiar with ISAT test at the elementary level. They're probably familiar with what we call a PSAE at the high school level. Those tests will change dramatically as they begin to shift to the new Common Core standards. So just getting that view of where the district's at has been extremely helpful in that process.
The Common Core standards, at what levels are students being tested to make sure they're meeting those standards?
Well, in the new set of standards, it's K-12. All the grade levels are tested in the new Common Core standards, and you'll be able to generate better sets of data with kids and cohorts and subgroups because of that. In addition, the Common Core standards, they're going to be far more rigorous than what most states had in the past as their state standards. But at the same time, they're also clearer. They are very specific about what kids should know and be able to do at the end of each grade level, which, again, will really help create a better picture for both teachers and parents to help those students get to the exit outcomes where we know they'll need to be with those new Common Core standards.
Does this replace No Child Left Behind?
As things currently stand, No Child Left Behind is still somewhat in place, although some things have changed with that. I would think that most of us perhaps see No Child Left Behind either as this takes hold, fading away into the background more, or perhaps being completely rewritten in another format.
Is this the sort of standardized testing, is this the best way to measure what a student is learning and what a student knows?
I don't think most of us in education believe that any standardized test given on a very specific day necessarily is the best indicator of what a student knows. We know that just as life happens to kids too. And on any one given day, a student may not be the best prepared to take a test. And so one of the other major initiatives we have going on at the same time as these Common Core standards in Illinois is Senate Bill 7 called PARA, which is the Performance Evaluation Reform Act. And what the new evaluation system looks at is it adds a component of student growth. Must be a significant part of both the principal's evaluation and every teacher's evaluation. And so as we go down this path of marrying, if you will, the new evaluation system with the Common Core standards, we will include many local assessments in that data set, because we believe that when you use local assessments and they're given across the grade level, which will make them valid and reliable, and you can give them multiple times throughout the year, you'll have a better snapshot as you move through a year of where students are in terms of what they know and what they can do. And it also gives the teacher time to change instruction as necessary for students who may need adjustments made.
As a superintendent, how much do you get to focus on curriculum and students, and how much must you devote your time to financial matters?
Well, in a district like Macomb, I do have support on the curriculum side. The principal at the junior high, Danny Isaacson, serves also in a capacity as working on curriculum. But given the fact that she is a building level principal, even in that area, her time is limited. And so as a superintendent, I have to pay attention to both those areas, and I have to spend a lot of time in both those areas, both the financial side and the curriculum side.
In an ideal world, would you have a budget director or someone who could focus specifically on that, or someone just focused on the curriculum?
Oh, sure. In an ideal world, if money was no object, absolutely. As you look around the state, there are many districts that are size of Macomb who have just that type of support staff, where somebody's full-time job is dedicated to the financial side of the organization. And because they can look at that every single day, and that's what they do from 8 to 5, they're probably somewhat more effective than someone can be when they're trying to do parts of it. But with that said, I think we do a very good job here in Macomb. And, it's all about setting priorities for the organization.
At the July school board meeting, you mentioned the budget could change quite a bit between now and the time the board approves it in September. In what sort of ways might it change?
Well, again, in particularly in Illinois, the state fiscal picture simply is not very promising. We currently find ourselves, we're only receiving, in the current budget, we're receiving 89% of our general state aid of what we received 2 years ago. And as well, over the course of the last few years, the state has cut our transportation reimbursement by 40%. So, in a district the size of ours, and being a rural district, this has a significant impact on us. Between the 12-13 school year, which just ended, and the upcoming 13-14 school year, the district will have deficit spent in excess of $2 million. So as we move forward, I really think that we must address that shortfall, and I think we have to address it this year.
And how might you do that?
Well, I think in order to be fiscally responsible, difficult decisions are going to have to be made. With that said, we are inviting multiple groups to the table. That's the intent. Those groups will be, I guess, deemed advisory groups. We will look to those groups to generate ideas and discuss possible solutions for the district. But I will say this, when those kind of difficult decisions have to be made, you know, when you look at Macomb specifically as a school district, we offer more today than when we were a district nearly double our size. At the high school at one time, you know, we had almost 1,200 students, and yet we offer far more, both curriculum size and co-curricular, than we did when we had 1,200 students. So that's what I mean when I say tough decisions are going to have to be made in terms of what we want as an organization and how do we remain an outstanding school district. When we come out the other side and have regained financial stability, I know we will still have a very good school district that the community will be very proud of.
Do you anticipate holding any sort of public hearings or public meetings to gather input on where you might cut spending?
I believe we will have a few meetings. Those dates have not been set yet. There is currently at the board level a budget committee. As that committee begins to meet more often as the school year starts, I am certain we will look at having some community forums for two reasons. One, not just to get their input, but also to make sure that as a community we all understand the direction that the school district is heading and what our goal is at the end of the process.
Has there been any talk of, instead of cutting, perhaps instead raising revenues, having a tax rate increase referendum or finding some other way to increase the cash coming into the district?
Yes, that all of those things have been discussed, and I think all those things are still on the table as we move forward. And that'll be the positive side of bringing so many people to the table. You know, I think the good part about this, Rich, is even if we weren't deficit spending $2 million, this is going to force the district to take a very good close look at itself, which all organizations need to do from time to time. And as we take that discerning look at ourselves, I think we will uncover things that make sense to change. Yes, all of those things. Generating ideas will be on the table as well as reduction ideas. So I think we have to take a balanced approach and look at the organization as a whole. And I believe in the end, the best ideas will surface.
You know, every day the state does not come up with a plan to fix its pension system. It's costing the state X amount of money. Are you hopeful there will be more money available for education once lawmakers and the governor work out this whole pension mess?
Well, I'm not very hopeful, to be honest, because when you look at the solution that is most likely to occur, we know that higher ed has already struck a deal with the state in terms of passing 2% more of that cost to the local level, and so only a guess, but now that has happened, I think that will be the big push, is to push a higher percentage of that cost to the local level, which will then again in turn put another strain to local school districts who are already suffering in terms of the revenue side.
Yeah, you mentioned transportation. Do you find it galling that the state has encouraged small school districts to consolidate, become geographically larger, and then turned around and cut transportation
funding?
Yeah,
it makes no sense, Rich. And not only does that not make any sense, but if people pay close attention to what the governor is recommending, the ISB put a little calculation tool on their website for superintendents. The current governor would be happy to nearly do away with all transportation reimbursements and put it all to the local level. That would be disastrous for rural education in the state of Illinois, including Macomb.
You mentioned during the board meeting that the district might look to shift some items. I believe it's from the general revenue fund to the O&M fund. The O&M fund is in, I guess, good shape. And perhaps there are some items you can shift to that and use that restricted money on those projects, I guess. What would be some examples?
Yeah, we just looked at, and again, we're early in that process, but we just looked at a few items that we saw sitting in the Ed Fund that qualify to be spent out of O&M. An example would be the natural gas. Natural gas is absolutely qualifies for an O&M, and yet when we look at the O&M fund, we can see it's very healthy. You know, it has a couple of $1 million in it, and it grows each year. So it more than covers our O&M expenses. And so what we're looking at doing in the short term, particularly, is try to relieve our Ed Fund from this $1 million-plus a year deficit spending. So we found items like natural gas that we can move to the O&M fund. The O&M fund will still will not be in a deficit situation, and yet it'll give us a few more dollars in that Ed Fund to do other things with. That one move was only about $30,000, but we're looking at some other items now that perhaps be a little larger in nature, and we'll look and make sure that it's a good fit.
Any idea why natural gas was placed in the education fund rather than initially being in the O&M fund?
No idea. You know, to be honest, school district finances, because of some funds being restricted, some not being restricted, some at one time having the ability to move from one fund to another, all kinds of creative things have been done over the years to help alleviate one fund or another. So I don't think as you look to the past, you'll find any big uh-ohs. What did they do that for? At the time, it probably made sense, but we're just in Illinois anyway, because of the state finances, we find ourselves in a different position. Really having to look to that Ed Fund to stretch those dollars.
Macomb is looking to change its conference affiliation. Can you talk about that?
A little bit. And this information, we'll have more information as the next month unfolds. But Macomb was, for a long, long time, member of the Olympic Conference. We were one of the oldest conferences in the state, very well known throughout all, not just athletics, but all co-curricular activities. And the Olympic Conference eventually became unstable as districts began to leave for other conferences, trying to shorten up their travel schedules and those types of things. And since that time, we joined this new conference. But we find ourselves right now that the new conference is becoming unstable because districts are doing the exact same thing, leaving for different reasons. But once you become an unstable district, it's hard to attract other schools to come join your conference. And so five school districts are having discussions about banding together and creating a very strong conference here in West Central Illinois. And I want to be very careful here. I want to make sure I get the right districts, but I believe it's Macomb, Illini West, QND, Monmouth Roseville, and
was Canton mentioned?
No, it's West Hancock.
Okay.
West Hancock. So those are the five school districts, and then once that conference is formed, if it's formed, you know, as I said at the board meeting, all five of those districts would have to get board approval and agree this is the district, this is the direction they want to go in order for this to happen. Without that, you know, it's kind of a done deal. Won't happen unless all five agree they want to move forward.
And that's something you have to, I guess, notify the IHSA sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and it's really the conference itself. Every conference has bylaws, and the particular conference we're in right now, one of those bylaws is by the end of August. If you're going to get out the following year, you have to announce it by then, and so that's what creates the little bit of the time frame issue for us.
I understand you're going to make various announcements via Twitter. You're going to start doing that as a way of communicating with the public.
I am going to do that as a way of communicating with the public, and what I really like about Twitter is It's very short messages, and it can be done from anywhere. And I tweet from my mobile phone, so regardless if I'm traveling or if I'm between meetings, it only takes a few seconds to get a quick tweet out to the public. And it's not designed to give a lot of details about various things, but more about give a lot of little information so people can attach themselves to the school district and truly get a sense of what's going on in the district at any given time. And in fact, you know, my first tweet might be announcing about this radio interview, Rich, just to get you on the front line day one.
You know, in radio, we used to be the source of information that when there were school cancellations, but I imagine you could even use it for that and probably reach a lot of people in a hurry.
Yeah, you could. And of course, Macomb has that parent reach, which goes out to the majority of people and the thing. But in addition to that, when we make those decisions, I'll also be tweeting about it.
Where can someone find you on Twitter?
The Twitter will be at Toomey. That's my last name, TWOMEYMCUSD 185.
All right. I think that should do it for now, unless you want to add anything.
Well, you know what, Rich? If I could, I'd like to have one plug. And the plug would be for the, you know, we talked a lot about the budget today and the situation that the district finds itself in. So I'd like to give a plug to a local nonprofit organization, the Macomb Education Foundation. And the Macomb Education Foundation, you know, their sole purpose is to help the school district achieve our goals. And so in the event, if you are in a position, you're thinking about donating, or even better yet, if you're in the midst of any estate planning, please keep the Macomb Education Foundation in mind, because, as you know, many people think about giving significant dollars to the university where they attended. And we would really like to create an environment where people think about the local high school where they attended. And if people would think about the Macomb Education Foundation, I think that would have a tremendous benefit to the school district in the future. And you can find them at their website at www.medfd.org.
All right. We'll provide a link on our website to that.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me today, Rich.
Hey, thanks for your time.